From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 18th, 2010. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today we will discuss Data as a Service, or DAS. You've heard of SaaS, Software as a Service. Well, Data as a Service pretends to make it easier to buy, sell, maybe even trade data in a cloud computing environment. We'll talk about whether potential users will buy data in this way and whether the lawyers will get involved in what could be sticky issues related to licensing, royalties, and intellectual property. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Manage your field data and immediately share critical business information across your enterprise. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mobile solutions.
I think some basics are in order before we dive into data as a service. I just want to review software as a service, or SaaS, which many of you may be familiar with. The premise here is really similar to Google Mail. The interface, the application, the storage of email is not resident on your existing computer. Everything is in a cloud environment in today's vernacular. Some models that are more advanced in terms of their application, like customer relationship management systems, ask you to pay a fee for using this type of cloud model, the epitome of which is probably Salesforce.com, that's been doing this perhaps longer than anyone. And that's the typical software as a service model. Now we have DAS, data as a service, that would make buying data, in our case geospatial data, especially hosting data as a service, instead of buying data from a supplier that you either download directly or you receive CDs or DVDs. It's a different model. It's one that would hopefully allow you to search and query in the cloud, search geographically, and get the data you want. But in a true cloud model, the data stays where it is. And it's perhaps the application or the querying or the analysis that perhaps is more of a conventional means that the user would take it themselves. So, Adina, what's fascinating to me about this is that when I think back to the days in the early to mid-90s when you had data suppliers selling their data as bigger chunks, for example, they always sold like an entire U.S.-based street network file. It was a monster job. They didn't know how to price it any other way but in singularly large data sets. So when desktop mapping was hitting its stride in the early to mid-90s, those type of data companies and demographic data companies had to figure out how to price demographics for a volume-based business model. You know, products like Business Map and Maptitude and Tactician and MapPoint, they were figuring out how to include nationwide demographics, some of which was free from the census, but some was not. Some of it was by private data suppliers. But they bundled it with the software, and they figured out how that model was going to work. Well, now let's fast forward to this DAS model. This announcement that came out last week from Pitney Bowes Business Insight of a data marketplace, a true DAS model, suggesting that they will handle all of the management and updates of data without users having to worry about license restrictions. To me, that's one of these evolutionary, these big issues that comes along that we're trying to figure out. And they're the first ones out there. All the attempts to deal with a single data provider, they're going to handle. PBBI is suggesting that they will be the intermediary for these data providers, and those other data providers may or may not be ready to deal in business this way. So this is, I think, an interesting situation that's developing for all users of geospatial data. And I just want to quote one thing here from Stacey Higginbotham of GigaOM, which we'll provide a link to the full analysis that she does. She says, as data marketplaces grow, questions about who owns the data and privacy issues will get resolved because the financial incentive to address them is huge. Then folks can focus on what they can build using huge swaths of demographic, geographic, financial, and even personal data, unquote. So the announcement that came out in it last week by Pitney Bowes was to form this data marketplace, and their partner in this is WeoGeo, a company that maybe not a lot of people know about. this kind of sets the stage for us in this kind of new world of data as a service. It seems radical in some degree, but some degrees evolutionary. And I think think users will find some getting used to for this whole new model. What's your initial thoughts?
Well, let's start with this DAST, data as a service. And I have to say, the first thing I did when I saw that term popping up again in your coverage of last week's event is I went to Wikipedia to find a page about DAST. And you know, there was one once, but it has been deleted.
I know. I look for it as well.
Now, that tells me that at least from the Wikipedia folks, and you can have your own sense of whether or not Wikipedia is a valuable thing, that for whatever reason, doesn't need to have its own distinction, that it's part of cloud computing, it's not that special. So I thought that was sort of interesting, and maybe that page will come back, I don't know. The second point that I think is interesting is that Pitney Bowes Business Insight was the first geospatial company to sort of step forward with this model for its customers. Part of the reason I think that's true is that more than many of the other players, save perhaps Caliper, the folks who make Maptitude, many of those other geospatial technology providers are as tied to data or sell their own data. And MapInfo, I still call it MapInfo, they have always had data that they sold way back from the beginning. And they have data to sell. And I think that's what maybe put them in a position to go out first, to get in line first with WeOGeo, which is an organization we've covered before, that really was sort of the first to start with this, how do we put data in the cloud? How do we use that as a way for people to organize their own data or to put data in a marketplace that they can sell and get some money off of as it is reused? So it's interesting that it's Pitney Bowes wouldn't have been the company I would have thought of to necessarily lead a charge into data distribution. Maybe because it has data, that makes sense.
And this goes back to a conversation I had with Mike Hickey, and I'll put a link to the full interview I did with him, the conversation I had with him a year ago about him moving his company to the cloud. This was a vision he had, and I think they've been working on this for quite some time. Here's the guy at the top saying, we got to move. You know, whether everybody out there thinks it's just a trend or not, he said to me, he said, that's a scary way to think. If it really isn't just a passing trend and it's real, you better get there pretty darn fast. Let me just read something that they provided me with at the show. It was kind of a fact sheet, because they go out and they describe what is meant by data as a service. And I'll quote here. It says, DAS provides standardized processes for accessing data where it lives, with the actual platform on which the data resides being irrelevant. Data as a service provides data quality and enrichment in a centralized place, offering data to systems, applications, and users, irrespective of where they are in the organization or on the network. This is coming out of something that they have called internally Project Miami, and it says they're now going to be the world's broadest. They're going to provide the world's broadest set of geospatial data through a cloud-based iTunes-style selection for one-stop-shop data on demand. I think everybody knows what iTunes is, but applying that to geospatial technology is a bit of a stretch. It's hard to get your head wrapped around that iTunes model for geospatial data.
It really is, and I think it's worth just thinking about what's different between an iTunes for music and an iTunes for geodata. An iTunes for music, things come in discrete chunks. They used to come in discrete chunks called albums, but of course now they come in discrete chunks called songs. Geodata doesn't necessarily come chunked up like that, nor would you want it to be chunked up necessarily by existing jurisdictions. Right, you want to use your own cookie cutter that makes sense for your particular application. iTunes definitely had to deal with multiple organizations providing the music. They had different licensing. They had to make different deals. And yet, Apple was able to put together a model whereby most everybody's on board with 99 cents a song. How you're going to do that with geodata, I have no idea, because maybe there's something that says, oh, songs are approximately 99 cents, whatever that means.
Well, I think this is going to have a ripple effect through the industry. I sense that if you go to a TeleAtlas or you go to a NavTech and you all of a sudden tell them that I want only the street data between a mile radius around 4th and Main, that they're going to have a problem with that. And this is, I think, the crux of the issue, which is how do you put in place a blanket licensing agreement where you take data by the drink? I think you...
There's way too many questions in that. One is, who's doing the discussing? Is that the end user talking to TeleAtlas or NavTech? The end user talking to PBBI, who is in turn talking to TeleAtlas or NavTech? And what does it mean, I want the data I want? What does that mean? Data, as you just described it, is still living up in the cloud.
Right.
You're not getting anything, maybe.
Right.
So there's a million questions even in the scenario you just described.
Right. And the one you just pointed to was the fact that if it stays in the cloud, what is the restrictions I have to that? And because what I heard PBI trying to do here was answer a particular question, another question we'll bring up, which is, how do I keep my data current? Right. So, for example, in demographic data, you want the very latest, whatever, population, age, income, retail buying patterns, amount of discretionary income, all of that data that changes frequently, and you want access to it just as frequently. Where is the relationship, and how do I get it? Where does it reside? Where do I store it? How do I query it? How do I query it just from an analytical point, but also from a geographic standpoint? So maybe the issue here is we're raising an awful lot of questions we don't have the answers to, but those are the right questions.
I think they are. Let's face it, this isn't that different than what's been going on in a slightly different form in the past. And let me be clear about that. What has been happening for some time now is, and let's take Google, okay? So up until last October, Google licensed data from TeleAtlas for the United States. Every X amount of time, TeleAtlas would somehow provide the latest data, maybe it was just a change log, I don't know, to Google, and Google would update the data set and put it on its hosted machines and share it out with the world via Google Maps. So the only thing that's different now, maybe, is that PBBI is going to host it in its cloud, and instead of moving that data to somebody else's hosted system where they're going to then host it for their customers, it's all going to stay back in this one location across multiple servers in a cloud that somehow has PBI's name on it that's probably going to be being run by Amazon or somebody else. So it's not that far from what's been doing. We're just maybe cutting out a middleman or two.
Right. And I think that's the point, right? You don't want to have to deal with all these individual data partners.
No, and that really puts a huge burden on PBBI to negotiate on behalf of its customers and, frankly, its potential new customers, because I can't believe they're going to go through all this trouble only to serve their existing user base. They want to serve everybody who wants some data, don't they?
Absolutely, and they even mentioned that they would welcome in other data marts or data providers, even like ESRI. Here we have this interesting dynamic being set up. They're going to be the first out there. They're going to set this up. Hopefully they're going to discuss in more detail about the licensing agreement people will adhere to if they're going to upload their data to this new data marketplace. And this is where the angst comes in, right? Right? How are they going to do this? What we haven't talked about, and maybe you can address, is the other player in this, which is WeOGeo. They have started down this path with a marketplace, and not many people know about what they offer. They have an arrangement with Amazon. This is how they store their data and how they've developed their marketplace. What does this pose to the user to have WeOGeo in the game?
Well, WeOGeo has really been in startup mode until just the other day when they came out of beta. So they're still in the shiny new department. The vision there, and I think WeOGeo was sort of half stealth, half not stealth as they were getting up and running. And the idea is this. I think that they sort of offer two different things. One is you can put your data up in the cloud or on your local appliance and use our organizational framework to query and distribute it within your own organization. And that's sort of one model. The other model is you can flip a switch if you want and then make that data available through this marketplace to anybody who might want to use it. And one of the things that they were really big on is if you take some data and repurpose it, add some more data, and sort of resell it, that there would be a track back to the original provider of that data, so you would get paid every time it gets used. You know, kind of like every time they run those old TV shows in syndication, the people who are in those shows get a few pennies.
Right.
Yeah, so that kind of a model. I think it was a very hard thing for WeOGeo to go out and educate the planet about the possibilities of what this could mean in terms of both better organizing your existing data sets, potentially having them hosted elsewhere to take some burden off of you, and then potentially getting some pennies for this data that you've created. It's a very different model from how data has been distributed in the past. So I think what PBI identified early was that's exactly the kind of structure that we need to build this marketplace. So that partnership does make a lot of sense. Because WeOGeo has put together specifically the geospatial tools needed to manipulate that kind of data, which is very different from the tools that Apple uses to manipulate the sale of music.
Yeah, and one of the things that was mentioned at the Insights conference when this whole discussion arose was, yeah, we've got this arrangement with WeOGeo. We're starting down this partnership. We're going to set this platform up. And somewhat, you know, people in the audience, some of the individuals in the audience were old PBBI partners. And one of the things they offered to them was to white label a data marketplace. So if you're a partner, and I can think of a few, Spatial Insights being one, they sell their own special data type that they've developed over the years. PBBI would allow them to white label their own marketplace, use all of the basic infrastructure that PBI is offering, set up their own market.
So just like you can have your own store on Amazon or eBay.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. So I think it was a great move on PBBI's part because, you know, their partners have been very loyal to them, and this is a new thing for them as well. I think it's a great way to foster the idea if again, you can get all of these licensing agreements in place. And maybe that's the last thing to cover here is protecting intellectual property, getting royalties, all of those things that have been the sticky points that lawyers love to delve into. Is this all going to work out? And that, I think, is the big crux of the issue.
So my big question there is, how exactly is this different from when we sold data on CDs and it came with a license?
I think the big issue is does the data really stay where it is? You know, you're not bringing down any data. At least that's what I'm reading into this, is that you're just kind of renting the data for a time. You're doing your analysis. You're saving your analysis, but the data stays where it is. I think there's the difference is in the disconnect, the connectivity, whatever you want to call it, where you get your data. So that's my feeling at this point, is where you get your data is the big difference. Nothing is resident, nothing is hosted by you.
In the end, you can get a snapshot of the map, right? That's the answer to the question.
I think so. I think that's the way they would do it. You have to get it somehow.
True, but in contrast, you couldn't pull down a little bit of data and do some routing or something on your handset, because then you would have the data, you would really have the data on your handset.
Yeah, I think these are some of the questions that need to be resolved, and I think it's the questions that people are going to raise initially that needs to be some clarification from PBBI.
I think so, too. And for some people, depending on the answers to the questions we just raised, this will be perfect. And for others, it will not work at all.
Yeah. And also one of the things that they offered was that you can have an appliance, right? And we're going to put a link to your paper about talking about the geographic appliance, which I think is very apt in this case. So you could bring it internally. You could have it resident on premise, as they say. And have it as an appliance instead of renting from the cloud.
Right, and WeOGeo has offered an appliance as well. I suspect that's just sort of piggybacking on it, so that you could rent the data that you want, put it into this structure, and then have that live inside your own firewall. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, I think that's exactly what they're offering.
Right, so that's maybe less different than just buying a bunch of CDs, which you would then turn around and load up onto your server.
Yeah, and so in this evolutionary process, that's a good stepwise step for end users to take in this whole...
And potentially for licensees. I think people who own the data would be a whole lot more comfortable knowing exactly who's bought it and how many people in their operation are using it and so forth. As opposed to, I think it's a little bit scary once you put it out and... Maybe it's more possible to lose track of who's using it than it is if it's safely on an appliance that you can sort of keep tabs on.
Right, right. Well, we've raised a lot of questions. Hopefully, PBBI will be forthcoming with some of the answers to this question, that they'll reveal more about what's coming in their new data marketplace and data as a service.
Well, they're going to have to, because this is supposed to launch in June.
That's correct. Very soon, within a matter of weeks.
Right, so they've only got a couple of weeks. So it sounds like they've certainly whetted our appetites about what this is going to look like. The other thing I think is really valuable to point out is that if we're using that iTunes comparison, which I think is very valuable, Apple bought Lala, which is a music streaming service. So in a sense, iTunes is doing exactly what PBBI is doing, and that's that you won't have your music locally on your device. It will host it in the cloud, and you will use it when you need it.
Right, right.
So those things are very parallel, and I think it's worth watching how both of these organizations try to make sense of it and try to make a compelling argument to the end user to take advantage of those resources that will be living in the cloud. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the 2010 ESRI Business GIS Summit will be held July 11th and 12th in San Diego, California, in conjunction with the ESRI International User Conference. The event will show how GIS can help businesses increase profitability, gain a competitive edge, and drive business innovation to succeed in today's economy. For more information or to register to attend, visit www.esri.com/bizsummit.
And we'd like to remind you that if you want to delve further into geospatial cloud computing, we hope that you'll consider coming to our GeoCloud conference on September 22nd in Washington, D.C. at the museum. You can find more information about participating at www.locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted, either on Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.